Even without knowing exactly what the context is, the phrase echo chamber has rather negative connotations. The tendency is to perceive that it means a group of people who agree with each other about the subject at hand have gathered together to reinforce those beliefs. Echo chamber doesn't imply open-mindedness. But a new study indicates that echo chambers aren't all bad, and even in these polarized political times, could include some incremental modifying of ideas and perspectives. One of the key researchers in the study is Joshua Becker. He's a postdoctoral fellow at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management. Joshua, many people hear the term echo chamber. They perceive it negatively. How did this study look into echo chambers?
First, I think it's worth remarking that the concept of echo chamber, that phrase, is not really a very well-defined scientific term. It doesn't necessarily mean any one specific thing. In general, echo chambers are about information systems and especially about selective exposure. So, for example, especially with the increasing turn towards web-based media, people can choose what media they're exposed to. One person might only watch Fox News, or one person might only watch NBC or listen to NPR. But we also have other ways of creating selective exposure. So one of the most consistent findings in social research is called homophily, which is just a fancy way of saying birds of a feather flock together. Okay. In other words, my friends are all like me. We make friends with people who share our political attitudes and our more general preferences, which means we're building selective exposure right into the fabric of our social networks.
I was surprised to see that people didn't have to be blended with another group of people who have with a different political party, for example. They could almost be with folks who just have slightly different degrees of the same beliefs, and yet it helps them get into a way of expanding their own. I was surprised that it maybe didn't take someone on the opposite side for them to sort of modify what they were doing.
We were actually a little bit surprised, pleasantly surprised by that finding as well. So the whole motivation for this study is that I do more broadly research on collective intelligence, or the wisdom of crowds, a lot of people call it, which really just means we're trying to understand how different patterns of communication and different social structures impact the accuracy of our beliefs more broadly. So this is the research we started doing a few years ago. And when we began this research, the common wisdom on the wisdom of crowds is that in order to get accurate beliefs in a group, you have to keep people independent, which means both socially and statistically independent. Because the common concern is that when people talk to each other, they get correlated errors. You get things like herding, groupthink, mob mentality that would potentially undermine belief accuracy. And we set out to look at how different social network structures determined how good or bad, you know, the effect of social influence was, or how bad groupthink was. And what we found initially, to our surprise, was that under the right conditions, which are quite simple, actually, all you need is a network where everybody's equally connected, which means people are equally influential, it turns out groups actually become more accurate as a result of social information exchange. Now, when we did that study, we were looking at things like literally guessing how many M&Ms are in a jar or how many calories are in a meal. That's where we started with this kind of exciting finding that groups can kind of bootstrap their own collective intelligence just by talking to each other. But when I would go around and I would give this talk and I would present this research, and inevitably somebody would raise their hand and say, yeah, but Joshua, that would never work for things that really matter, like political beliefs. So, you know, we knew we had to tackle it one way or another. And the reason people are concerned about it, and I think people are right to be concerned, is that when we talk about political beliefs, we're really talking about pretty controversial issues. And people are shaped by what's called motivated reasoning, which means instead of adjusting their beliefs to match the facts of the world, they adjust their beliefs to support their policy preferences or their preferred candidates. And what that means is that if you ask a Democrat and a Republican the same exact, completely objective, factual question, like, what was the unemployment rate in the last month of Barack Obama's presidential administration, or how has the number of illegal immigrants in the United States changed over the past 10 years, you'll get different answers from the Democrat and the Republican because their answers will be biased towards whatever supports their preferences.
Well, Joshua, what kind of expectations did you have going into this particular study?
When we started this study, we did not know what to expect. We had these kind of two competing theories. One that says social influence will improve accuracy, and one that says social influence will amplify biases. As a scientist, it's almost like no matter what the outcome is, we've learned something new. As a person who lives in democracy, I'm pretty happy that the answer is that collective intelligence works.
In order for a study like this to work, do you need to have the right subjects, people who are willing to say, oh, I don't know everything, these are my beliefs and I think they're pretty good, but okay, I am willing to listen to a logical argument?
That's a great question. So it's important to acknowledge that with any single study, there's a lot of possibilities that we couldn't account for. So it's certainly still possible and in fact likely that there are types of echo chambers or contexts in which echo chambers really are going to have all those awful things happen that we think they are. So for example, subjects in our study wanted to have the right answer. They wanted to be accurate. But there are certainly contexts in which we might be motivated towards controversy instead of towards accuracy. A lot of people on social media, they don't really care what they're saying as long as they get those likes and those retweets. So our subjects were just recruited at random from Amazon Mechanical Turk, which is an online platform for crowdsourcing work as well as research. So people log in to do little micro tasks. By and large, people are pretty reasonable. And what our study shows is that even if you have a handful of really biased people in your discussion network, they're not going to be there in enough numbers to really drive the conversation. Now, here's where it's important to realize that we had created these social networks in a way that everybody was equally influential. What might be happening in the world at large is that people who have really extreme views also managed to occupy really central positions. One of the things we do know from our own previous research, as well as some additional computational analyses we'd conducted for this paper, is that if you do have extremely biased people in very central positions, which just means they are observed by a lot of people, they're very influential, those are the cases where you do get those extreme biases really determining the direction of collective beliefs.
Joshua Becker is a postdoctoral fellow at Northwestern University. We've been talking about a report he worked on with the Annenberg School and George Washington University.